First of all, good job on the best bet last week. You did go with the local angle, San Diego State over UNLV. What did you wind up seeing in that game? I mean, obviously, before the game, you thought that San Diego State would have the advantage, but that one turned out to be a pretty easy winner, laying 9.5, 9.
Well, I just think UNLV's been overpriced in the marketplace since the beginning of the season. I started way back in late May when their season win total came out at 5.5. I thought it was a little higher than at least my expectations. Now, to their benefit moving forward, I think that their side of the division of the Mountain West is going to be relatively light. So I might be possibly in trouble on that ticket. But, you know, from a game-to-game basis, I continue to find, especially if I'm betting at the local shops, the more public shops like your stations and that, I find at least a half point of value betting against them. In that particular instance, I just thought San Diego State was taking a major step down in class. UNLV got too much credit for blowing out a terrible San Jose State team. And I thought San Diego State, for the most part, has been focused in Mountain West play as far as their conference games each of the last 3 years. And they're 20-2 straight up, and now 16-6 against the spread their last 22 conference games.
This is a tricky week because you got a lot of big boys playing games where they're 17-30-point favorites. So we'll break a lot of those down. Where are you now on Clemson value? Because they're 22.5 at Syracuse.
Yeah, I'm leaning with Syracuse, and I expect a conservative game plan out of Clemson with a less than 100% Kelly Bryant. I'm not sure they're going to run him as much as what they've done lately. They need him for the stretch run of the season. So I think it's a conservative game plan, and with a bye on deck, a lot of people might say, hey, they're going to put a full force effort. I think it's, you know, go up there, get the W, take a deep breath with the bye week next week and get ready for a really tough stretch run where they're going to have to play, you know, an improved NC State team, among others, down the stretch as they try to make another run at the national title. So I like Syracuse. And plus, Syracuse is the type of offense that's up-tempo, very aggressive. They scored at least 23 points in all their games this year. That's fully capable of pulling the backdoor cover.
I was dead wrong last week with Oregon and the Ducks taking on Washington State. Second half, they just fizzled. Wazoo on the road at Cal laying 14.
Yeah, you and me both, buddy, with the Ducks. We actually would have been. I'd have stepped out there a little bit more had Oregon had a starting quarterback. But in this particular case, you know, I was on California against Washington. I'll give kudos to Justin Wilcox. I think he follows point spreads because he took a timeout with 2 seconds left, tried to kick a field goal to lose by 28. I needed him to make that field goal because I had plus 28.5. They miss it. They don't cover. And obviously Washington State kicked my teeth down my throat with them easily beating Oregon in the second half. It's not a great spot for Washington State, back-to-back road trips on a short week, but I think California's starting to run out of gas here. I mean, they played USC, Oregon, and Washington. They're beat up at the skill position. You know, anything under 14, I'm have a slight lean on Washington State minus the points.
Purdue goes to Wisconsin, and we'll see how this Purdue team is. It's been a little bit inconsistent, really, but now they go to Wisconsin and seeing 16.5 here with the Badgers.
Yeah, I'm going to lay it with Wisconsin. They've dominated the series. They've won 11 straight, covered 10 out of those 11 games, and each of the last 9 wins in the series have come by 17 points or more. And look, there's a new sheriff in town at Purdue by the name of Jeff Brom, so they're much improved, but they're kind of off a misleading win last week. They got a 76-yard pick six late with Minnesota driving that you know enabled them to win the game by 14. In fact, the weather really bailed them out. They were losing a majority of that game. A long weather delay got them to regroup and gather themselves as they beat Minnesota. Wisconsin is just going to pound down your throat. And I'm a little bit worried, can Purdue hold up? Because they gave up 230 rushing yards to a banged-up Minnesota team last week. Wisconsin really put it on Nebraska late in that game. I think that could happen again here. Give me the Badgers minus the points.
We'll stay in the Big Ten. My Michigan Wolverines, I believe, had a bye last week. I don't think they played. I didn't see a game. They go on the road and play Indiana. I'm joking. I know they lost to Michigan State.
Yeah.
They go on the road, play Indiana, and Michigan laying a touchdown. The offense was just awful. Of course, the weather had a role in it, but man, I don't know how you can really lay points with Michigan at this point, especially on the road with the way their offense is playing.
Well, my pocketbook wishes they had a bye last week because I bet them. And you just said, how can you bet them this week? Well, I did. I jumped in on them before the number jumped to 7. I bet them minus 5.5. I still lean with them minus 7. Dominated the series. And look, the offense was atrocious. But, you know, I'll give it an outlier. They were minus 5 turnovers and were still legitimately in the game. Why? Because as bad as the offense is, they still have a top five defense in the country. They have held each of their five opponents to season lows. In fact, they have held their opponents to 208 yards per game, below their season average. So to put that in perspective, teams coming in averaging 400 yards per game, Michigan holds them to 192. So I'm still a believer in the Michigan defense, and I'm a believer in Harbaugh at least getting a bounce-back win here. I have my concerns moving forward against the likes of Penn State, Ohio State, and Wisconsin if they don't correct that offense. But I think I can get the job done here. Give me the Wolverines minus the points.
Red River Shootout, not quite the luster it once had, but still a very important game regionally. And Oklahoma playing Texas here at Oklahoma Lane, just over a touchdown, 7.5, 8.
Yeah, and look, the public narrative entering this series each of the last 4 years has been Texas has been thrown in the trash. Can Charlie Strong save his job? And they've covered four straight times in this series, pulling two outright upsets as a double-digit underdog. Meanwhile, this year, you know, Oklahoma's thrown in the trash off that big outright upset loss to Iowa State, so I expect a very motivated Oklahoma team. Slight lean towards them here. I don't know if there's a tremendous amount of value with them laying more than a touchdown, but I actually like the under a little bit more, and here's where I think it's mispriced. I think Texas's defense has made massive improvements since week one, and it's not being reflected in the scoreboard because they've been involved in a couple of double overtime games. Keep in mind, they held Southern Cal to 17 points in regulation. That's a much improved Texas defense, and I think Oklahoma's defense will play with a chip on their shoulders. Maybe they're not very good, but I think you get a better effort and a better focus than what we've seen from them the last couple of games.
Last one, Brad Powers with us. You can find him on Twitter at BradPowers7. He's part of Straight Outta Vegas show on Fox Sports Radio. First edition is on Fridays at 11 o'clock over on 1340 and nationally on hundreds of stations on Fox Sports Radio. Alabama's not great in these spots where they're laying 30 or more, but you got Meathead on the Arkansas side and Bielema, who is in trouble here. They're getting 30, so what happens?
I'm going to lay it, believe it or not. I think I was against Alabama last week, thought the line was inflated. The line's starting to come down a little bit this week in this game. I can't trust Arkansas, even though they're off a misleading blowout loss to South Carolina. South Carolina had three defensive touchdowns. I think you get a really good focused effort out of Alabama. You can see how cranky Saban was in the post-game press conference after the A&M game. I think it's a full 60-minute pedal to the metal for the Crimson Tide, and that's bad news for Bielema and company. Roll Tide.
Brad, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you.